good. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Matthew. I'm sorry, the book of Mark tonight. In Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 tonight. We're going to be in verses 34 through 44. A very familiar set of passage, very familiar account in the ministry of Christ. But some things I want us to see and be reminded of tonight as we look at the feeding of the 5,000. So even though it's a very familiar account in Scripture, don't tune me out and don't automatically jump to the end of the account that you know that the feeding of the 5,000, how Jesus feeds them and how everybody, their bellies are satisfied. But I want you to look at how spiritually satisfied God's people are. So in Mark chapter 6, looking at verse 34 through 44, the Bible says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, 'This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat.' He answered and said unto them, 'Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?' He saith unto them, 'How many loaves have ye? Go and see.' And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house tonight. Thank you, Father, for the songs that we've sang. We thank you, Lord, that we do again have something to look forward to, that, Lord, when it seems like there's storms raging all around us, we can always look up and, Lord, and just see our Lord and Savior as Stephen saw him standing at the right hand of the Father in the day of his calamity, Father, a day that he was facing death because of his faith. And Lord, what encouragement that gave him and what encouragement we receive each and every day as we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time together tonight. Guide us through the scriptures. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and minister to us. And Lord, as always, I do want Christ to be lifted up. I do want you to be glorified. And Father, I ask that you would guide us according to your will, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, in Mark chapter 6, we know this is the account of the feeding of the 5,000. It's one of the accounts in the Gospels that I love to read about because it just says, you know, there's 5,000 men. And we know that there's going to be women there. There are children there. But just the fact that 5,000 men, and it is something that when the disciples look at it through human eyes, they see impossibilities. But yet when there is an impossibility, there's always the possibility that God will show himself mighty. And in this account, we do see where God shows himself mighty. I want you to look, though, with me as we start. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Keep a finger in Mark 6, but go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Because tonight I want you to think about this concept or this truth. Being blessed after obedience. Being blessed after obedience. And everybody in this account had to obey the word of the Lord in order to be blessed. The people that needed to be fed, as well as disciples who saw no hope of being able to supply for these people. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." As we think about those words, it just reminds us that the Lord is always working on our faith. He wants our faith to be perfected. He wants our faith to be established. He wants it to be strengthened. He wants it to be settled, settled in him. So when you think about Mark chapter 6, you think about the feeding of the 5,000, think about the prior chapters in Mark chapter 6, where Jesus has already done miracles. He's already cleansed a leper who came to him and wanted to be cleansed, and Jesus asked him, "Do you believe I can do this?" He said yes, and Jesus cleansed him of his leprosy. The man in the temple who had the withered hand on the Sabbath day, where the Pharisees and the scribes, they looked at Jesus, they had already kind of scolded him about doing things on the Sabbath day, and they even said, "Will he heal on the Sabbath day?" And Jesus tells this man in the tabernacle, "Stretch forth your hand," and as soon as he stretched it forth, it was made whole. Without Jesus touching him, without really even saying anything about the withered hand, he simply says, "Stretch forth thine hand," and it's made whole. And the Pharisees, the scribes, they are outraged. They are just beside themselves that Jesus would do good on the Sabbath day, a day that they try to control and try to suppress the people. But as you think about what's going on in the book of Mark and in Mark chapter 6, these disciples have already seen great things. They've already seen God do wonderful things in the midst of them. They've been a part of it. In fact, I believe it's in Mark chapter 5. I'm going to look here. In Mark chapter 3. Turn back to Mark chapter 3. And look at verse number 14. I look at verse number 13. "And he," speaking of Jesus, "goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12." So this is where he ordains his 12 disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all the rest of them, "that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils." So he's just, even before you get to Mark chapter 6, these disciples have already, they've already seen the miracles. They've already seen the man with the withered hand being healed. They've seen the leper being cleansed. They've seen Jesus doing great things. They themselves have been used of God, where they were given power to go and cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to preach the kingdom of God. Yet when you get to Mark chapter 6, even though they've seen Jesus do great things, even though they themselves have experienced great things through the power of God in their life, yet you get to Mark chapter 6 and they're telling Jesus, "Send the people away." And he tells them, "Well, what do you have? What's in your hand? What do you have to give to them?" And, you know, just a few fish, a couple loaves. We don't have much. But yet they had to obey the word of the Lord. And it just reminds me that, you know what, there are times in our life where our faith is tried, and even though we know the things that God's done in our life and we can look back, yet our faith still needs to be stretched. Our faith still needs to be tested, because the Lord knows that our faith needs to be strengthened. It needs to be established. We still need to believe and see that Jesus has the power to do anything. So in this, you know, we would be quick to kind of, you know, scold the disciples and kind of look down on them and think, come on, guys, you know, aren't you better than this? I mean, I can see Jesus is going to feed the 5,000, don't you? But yet if we were to put ourselves there in their shoes, we would probably have the same outlook. We would see the fact that there's 5,000 men. We only have a few fish and a couple loaves of bread. I mean, what is this among so many? But yet when we do follow through in obedience to what the Lord says, there's always blessing on the other side of obedience. And I want you to notice in verse 34 through 36, I want you to notice the great need. All right? It says in verse 33, "The people saw them departing." Oh, sorry. Yes, "and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, 'This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Again, there is a great need with these 5,000 men. The disciples even see the great need, and they want the people to go into the cities and in the towns to be able to buy bread for themselves. Now, when you think about the need, these people have a need, but so do the disciples. The disciples have a need, and they don't even recognize it yet, but there is a great need. And sometimes the Lord will allow us to see the need of other people. Now, no doubt, we should see the spiritual need of other people. The disciples are only seeing the physical need. They've been in this place for a while. They know the people are hungry. They know that they need to go get some food. But Jesus sees the spiritual need of the disciples. He sees the spiritual need of the people. There is a great need, and we live in a day and age where there is a great need. And we need to take notice of the great need that is around us. In verse 37 through 40, though, there's a great opportunity. There's a great opportunity in the midst of a great need. In verse 37, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." Now they came to Jesus, and they told Jesus, send the people away because they need to go get some bread. They need to go find something to eat for themselves. And Jesus turns to them, as he often does, and says, give ye them to eat. Let me ask you, have you ever noticed the need of somebody else? And you've prayed for that person, and the Lord has spoken to your heart, you meet the need? Because if God ever allows us to see a need in somebody else, he's already pointed it out to us, and he wants to use us to be able to meet that need. He wants to be able to use us to minister to that person, to be able to show them the love of Christ and to help them to see the power of God in our life and in their life as well. So the opportunity is there for the disciples to be blessed by the power of God, for their faith to grow, but also for the people to see the power of God and the fact that God is the one that can supply our every need. He's the one that can satisfy the hungry soul and satisfy the thirsty spirit. And there is this opportunity. In verse 37 and 38, he using what God gives. All right? He answered and said to them, give ye them to eat. All right? And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. So there's a great opportunity in the midst of a great need. There's an opportunity for the disciples to meet the need of these people with just the little that they have. Again, it's often been said, and this is often brought out in this account, the fact that you and I may not have much, but what we have is exactly what God can use. Often we will overlook opportunities to be a blessing to somebody else because we think, well, what we have isn't, it's not much, it's not significant. They may not even appreciate what I give to them, but it's not about you, it's not really about the other person or the people. When you look at this account, often we focus on the 5,000 and how, wow, it's like 5,000 people were fed with just a little, but really the emphasis has to be and should be on Jesus Christ, the one who really met the need. He simply asked the disciples, what do you have? How much do you have? And then he takes what they have, he blesses it, he multiplies it, he feeds the 5,000. The focus always has to be on Christ, not really us, not the other person. Jesus is the center of attention. Now you think about, again, about this great opportunity to allow God to work in your life. Now he asks the disciples, what do you have? Go and see. Go see how much you have. They come back. They tell him exactly what they have. And it's an opportunity for them to give themselves to the Lord, to give what they have to the Lord and say, Lord, this is all I have, but I want you to use it. I want you to take it. I want you to be glorified with what you've given me by allowing it to be a blessing to somebody else. Look at verse 39 and 40. Verse 39 and 40, and he, Jesus, commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Now, we already see that there is a great need. And this need, the disciples cannot meet the need. They cannot meet it on their own. But as they sit there and they listen to the words of Christ, they go and see what they have. They bring it back to Jesus. This is all we have. Now Jesus tells them to prepare for a blessing. He doesn't tell them what he's going to do. He simply has them go and get the crowd to be in a type of order. He sits them down in hundreds and fifties, all right? That way they're not just all scattered about, but he gathers them. He has them in groups, preparing them for a blessing. Now listen, the disciples have already, if you were to go and look in the account of Matthew, Matthew kind of gives a little more detail that, you know, they really didn't think it was going to make a difference. You know, sometimes when the Lord asks us to do something and we're looking at it through human eyes, we're thinking about, well, how is this going to play out? And I just don't see how this is going to work. I don't see how this is going to help. And it would be so much better, Lord, I mean, if you would just drop $1 million in my lap, then I could just go and buy all the food that's needed for these people. But see, then that there's no faith in that, is there? And God calls us to walk by faith, not by sight. And we think about these disciples, Jesus is preparing them for a blessing. He's preparing the people for a blessing. The crowd has no idea the conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. There might be a few around them that are hearing it, but the rest of the crowds, I mean, 5,000 people, they're not all right there within earshot of their conversation. But now the disciples kind of go through the crowds and they're putting people in order. They're putting them in groups. And in a minute, they're going to be passing out the bread and the fish. But it takes faith with the 5,000 men as much as it takes faith with the 12 disciples to do what Jesus says. Now, it is true, there's blessings after obedience, because often the Lord is asking us to do things, whether it's trusting him with our finances, trusting him with some decision in our life, trusting him with our entire life. He's looking for us to obey his command, to follow him by faith, to do everything he says before he brings about the blessing. Now, you know, you just think, you know, just, you know, I'll give you a silly illustration, just thinking about a child who wants chocolate chip cookies before dinner. And they're told, you know, you got to eat dinner first. And that child sits there and they just, all they can think about is the blessing of chocolate chip cookies. And sometimes we may get ahead of what God wants us to do, and we just go, we want the blessing instead of the trial. We want the blessing instead of the waiting to be patient. But as they are preparing for the blessing, they are doing exactly what the Lord tells them to do. Look at verse 41. They've already sat the people down. The disciples have already at least started in obedience by preparing the people the way that Jesus said. They come back to Jesus, and in verse 41, when he, Jesus, had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. So there's this great need that only Jesus can provide for. There's an opportunity for God's people to be involved in the great need and to see the power and blessing of God at work. And they get involved. They come and they see what Jesus is going to do. And in verse 41, Jesus gives us the great example of what direction our help comes from. Now, Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh. But often you see in the Gospels where Jesus is praying to the Heavenly Father. He seeks the Heavenly Father's blessing. He seeks the Heavenly Father's help. mean, you see that in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus is praying to the Heavenly Father. Though he's God in the flesh, yet he has this relationship with the Heavenly Father. And he prays to the Heavenly Father in the Garden of Gethsemane that if it be possible that the Heavenly Father would take away that cup, not allow him to go through the suffering that he is going to go through, because when you know you're going to face something and you know something's going to be hard and it's something you don't want to go through, you don't want to have to experience the hardship and the pain, what would we do if we knew what was coming? Well, we'd find a way out. We would find we'd find a detour. We wouldn't go that way. I mean, if you knew what tomorrow held for you, if I knew what was going to happen tomorrow and it was something I didn't want to go through, then I would probably, you know, call into work, call in sick. I would stay home. I would not go in that direction. But the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane said, not my will, thy will be done. And that really should be our mindset every moment, every day of our life, knowing where our help comes from, knowing which direction we can look for help. Jesus, in verse 41, when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven. He looked in the right direction. He gives us that wonderful example that when we are faced with a great need, there's that opportunity to allow God to work. And when we notice and recognize the opportunity for the Lord to work, we need to look up for direction. We need to look up for God's guidance. We need to look up for our help. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Psalm 123. Several verses I want to look at in reference to the direction that Jesus points us to look. In Psalm 123. Let's see here. Psalm 123 and verse 1. The psalmist writes, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. What's the human tendency when we're faced with difficulties or faced with something that we don't really want to face, or that we don't see any hope in it? It's to look elsewhere. And many people will look around them for people to help. They'll look for different, you know, quick fix solutions. But as a child of God, the direction we should always look is up, looking up to our Heavenly Father, looking up to Jesus Christ, who has all power. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Go back, if you would, to Psalm 25. Psalm 25 and verse 15. Psalm 25 and verse 15. In Psalm 25, verse 15, David says, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. But David says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord. And they're always towards the Lord. They're always looking to the Lord for direction, for help. Look at Psalm 141. Psalm 141. And verse number 8. Psalm 141 and verse number 8. David says, but mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. So when we put our eyes upon the Lord and we look up unto the hills from whence cometh our help cometh from the Lord, then it's in a right direction. Our heart becomes fixed upon the one who can take a great need and make a wonderful opportunity for his power to be shown. Now, I understand, again, when you think about this, you're never going to be faced, I'm never going to be faced with having to feed 5,000 people. Maybe. If I think about it, you think about George Mueller, who felt the calling of God to start up the orphanages. And he had hundreds and hundreds of orphans that he took care of, and that he was able to feed simply by trusting the Lord. I mean, if you've never read the account of George Mueller, I would encourage you to do it, because he never asked a single person for a dime. He never asked anybody. He simply prayed that God would provide, and God always did. God always moved upon the hearts of people to give to the orphans. And God took care of them because George Mueller had the faith that God would take care of it. And honestly, you know what? Our faith does need to be stretched. My faith needs to be stretched. I need to continue growing in my faith and even growing in prayer. That, you know what? Prayer is a wonderful part of the Christian life, and it is the most blessed part of the Christian life because God's given us the boldness to come into the throne room of grace in time of need. Every time you see Jesus, I mean, you see him constantly throughout the scriptures praying. And again, it's really for our benefit because when I look at Jesus praying, I often think, he's God. Why is he praying? He can do anything, but it's for our example that, hey, we need to look up. We need to seek the one who can take a great need and make a wonderful opportunity to glorify himself in it. Again, he reminds us of the direction of our help. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 7, the Bible says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. What a wonderful verse to really think about, meditate on, as Micah says, therefore, I will. Not I might or, you know, if I need to, but I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Will God hear us? Will he hear us crying out to him? Will he hear us offering up our prayers to him? Will he hear us coming to him in the time of our need? I hope so. But as you go back and you look at Mark chapter 6, and again, you just kind of look at the account that's going on. You just think about the 5,000 that are there. They're hungry. They're being told to sit down. They're being put into groups. You know, again, if it was me, I would be thinking, you know, we're about to receive something. Where's the chuck wagon? Where's the banquet hall? Where's the buffet table? You know, where I'm about to receive something. And then to be one of the men, one of the people in those groups, watching the disciples go from group to group with their baskets, passing out the bread, passing out the fish. Maybe even watching the faces on those disciples as they're passing it out and looking in the basket and having this perplexed look on their face. As they're going, the basket's not in, it's not going empty. The fish is not disappearing. Every time I pass out one piece, I mean, there's more in there. Because the disciples had to obey in order for the people to be blessed. When you look at verse 42, it says, and they did all eat and were filled. What a wonderful blessing that verse is. They all ate and were all filled. They didn't just get a little bit. They ate enough to where they were filled. Let me ask you, what if the disciples had not obeyed? What if the disciples had not really gone through all the crowds, but maybe just did a few groups and said, okay, that's it. I cannot trust that this basket is going to continue to provide for the people. Sometimes people are blessed when we are obedient to the word of God. When God speaks to us and shows us a need, and he wants us to meet that need and trust him to meet that need as he uses us as vessels of honor. And we just obey him, not knowing, Lord, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know, you know, what's going to happen, but I'm trusting you because I know you're leading me, you're guiding me to go and help this person, to try to be a blessing to them. And both parties are blessed. Both parties are blessed. The people that needed to be fed, they're blessed because the Bible says they did all eat and were filled. Just thinking about just the 5,000 that are mentioned, the 5,000 men are all fed and filled. They're blessed, obviously, because Jesus was there. Jesus was part of their life. He was there on that day to meet their need. But as he's meeting their need, he's meeting the needs of the disciples. Jesus often is doing multiple things in people's lives. When he's working in our life, he's working in someone else's life that you are a part of. Someone is seeing your faith. Someone's benefiting from your faith as you obey the Lord, as you follow through on what God asks you to do. And they did all eat and were filled. Look at verse 43. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men. So the 5,000 men, they were blessed. And again, in verse 43, the 12 disciples were blessed as they went back through and took up 12 baskets full of the fragments, the leftovers. Being blessed after obedience. Obedience is a key part in the Christian life. It's listening to the voice of God as he speaks to your heart. Now, there are so many different examples that we could think about when it comes to obedience with God as a Christian. But as you think about your own life, you think about things in your life that God has moved in your heart about, that God has asked you to do, that God has shown you in his word. And maybe you, and I know myself, have struggled with it, and you just don't see how this can possibly work out. Yet hopefully you have some examples in your mind of where you just did what the Bible says. You walked by faith, trusting that God was right and God was going to do what he said he would do. You were just going to be faithful and following through and doing your part. And you've seen the blessings of the Lord in your life. You've seen where God has come through, because even though maybe everything in you wanted to resist God and go in a different direction, yet you submitted to the Lord, you followed the Lord, you trusted him, even though you didn't understand, and you saw the blessing of God. You saw that God was faithful. Because God is not just wanting to work in our lives for our benefit, but he's wanting to use us for the benefit of others as well. I want you to look at Psalm 63. They were blessed because of their obedience. Think about those that maybe didn't stick around. Look at Psalm 63. Think about the people that may not have stuck around to be fed by Christ. They didn't stick around to be put into those groups. They weren't there. The Bible says, you know, there were 5,000 that were fed. But you know, there's always somebody in a group that decides not to hang around. There's always somebody that says, you know what, that's okay. Because I can remember being in Madison, Wisconsin years ago, and being downtown Madison on a street called State Street. And it was a party street, a street where all the college people went, and everybody went that wanted to have a worldly good time. And we were down there passing out tracts on a Saturday. And I can just remember passing out these tracts. It was soon after 9/11, soon after the Twin Towers had been attacked and thousands of lives had died. And we were there passing out these tracts, which on the front had an image of the Twin Towers burning, and just passing those out. And many people took them, and it was amazing how you'd have a group of people and you're passing them out, but then the last one would, oh, that's okay. They've got one. I'll read theirs. They didn't want their own copy. You know, sometimes people are like that. They just don't want it. Sometimes Christians are like that, where they think they're okay. They think, you know what, I'm fine. You know, they're being blessed. You know, they've got it. You know, I'll just be a part of what they have. I'll just, you know, borrow from them. You know, the Lord wants to bless each and every individual. He wants to bless each and every Christian. Again, you think about maybe those that decided not to hang around on that day. There probably was some that maybe didn't stick around. Maybe they were there for a little bit, listening to the words of Christ, and then decide, you know what, you know, I've heard enough. I'm going to go home now. They missed out on the blessing. And you've heard it been said that oftentimes we give up just at the moment that the blessing is coming, because our flesh gets tired. We get tired of waiting. We get tired of fighting the spiritual battle. We get tired of the opposition. We get tired of the resistance the spiritual battle that we're in. But the Lord says, if we will look up, look unto the hills from whence cometh my help, if we'll keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, man, we will be blessed. We'll be blessed with the strength that we need to continue on. The Lord will bless us with his presence. He will bless us with answers to prayer. And there are just innumerable blessings that the Lord wants to bestow upon us. In Psalm 63, if you look at verse 1 through 7. Psalm 63, verse 1 through 7. David writes, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David talks about, obviously, where he's at. You know, we dwell in a place that's dry and thirsty. This world does not satisfy. On the day that Jesus fed 5,000, he satisfied their flesh. He satisfied their belly. But so many were satisfied spiritually. The disciples, though, they'll continue to have their faith tested. They will continue to have their ups and downs. And, you know, and even later when they're on the Galilean Sea and they sit there and they say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Yet we know where to be satisfied. We know who to go to. And we need to continue looking up. We need to continue seeking the Lord. We need to continue having the heart that David has here. Oh God, thou art my God. I'm glad that God does not cast us aside when we fail. He already remembers our frame is but dust. He knows there's failures in our life. And that's where he works. He works on our failures. He works to help us to be strengthened, to trust him more, to be more faithful in believing him and trusting him. Look at verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Now I can imagine what it was like for that day, for those 5,000 men plus the disciples. Disciples doubting what was going to happen, doubting that, you know, this could be done. I know that we saw the leper cleansed, we saw the withered hand made whole, we've seen the things, we've experienced the power of God in our own life, and God's allowed us to heal and to help people, but you know what, this is something bigger, this is something we've never faced before. Can imagine the joy that must have been in their heart when they saw that the baskets did not run dry, and then they go and they gather up 12 baskets full of fragments, full of the leftovers. Because let's be honest, when you have God do something in your life, you can't help but to be joyous. You can't help but to praise the Lord, right? But how often, though, when the next test comes, we forget about that moment, right? But again, the Lord's always working on us. The Lord's always helping us to grow, and he wants us to continue looking up towards him. It says, my soul shall be satisfied, verse 5, with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Again, David says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I trust. I will rejoice. You know, when you think about the goodness of God, when you get to the end of a day and you think about the day that you just came through, you think about maybe a moment where you were kind of iffy in your trust for the Lord, you think, man, God was good to help me through that even though I was struggling. That's what God wants us to think about, where he's helped us. God's not looking for perfect Christians. You remember the Pharisees, as I was reading earlier today at the beginning of Mark, the Pharisees, they kind of, in their minds and among themselves, they chided. They rebuked Jesus for eating with publicans and sinners. And they even said, doesn't he know he's eating with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, he said, Them that are whole need not a physician, but them that are sick. I came to call sinners, not righteousness. I came to call sinners unto repentance. I'm glad that he came to help us in our life, to help us to flourish, to bless us. And the blessings are when we obey. When we obey his word, when we follow through, even when it doesn't make sense to us. As David says, because thou hast been my help. Because thou hast been my help. Has God been your help today? Can you look back throughout today and see where God's helped you? Maybe at the moment you didn't recognize it, but when you think about the day, you think about everything that went, what happened in your day, you can see the hand of God. Hindsight's always 20/20. We want to see God in the midst of the day, but we should be able to look back at our day and see where God has provided and has blessed us greatly. Go back, if you would, and look at Mark chapter 6 one more time. Verse 41 again. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he took exactly what they had, and that's all they had. He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. In verse 41, it says he blessed. He blessed exactly what they gave him. They gave him the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He took it and he blessed it. You and I, if we will give everything in our life to the Lord, he'll bless it. He will use it for his glory. He will help us to grow in our faith. He'll help us to be strengthened. No matter what it is, our marriages, the lives of our children, our jobs, what does your life entail? What is in your life? I can think of the things in my life, the ministry, my secular job I work, my marriage, my family, the lives of my kids. I mean, there's just things in that is your life. And if we'll put it in the hands of the Lord and trust him, and follow his command, he'll bless it. He will bless your life beyond measure. And those around you, those that are involved in your life, will be blessed as well. You see that in the scriptures where if God's people are obedient, there is blessings. And someone may say, yeah, Pastor, but you don't know my life. You don't know who's in my life. Think about David. David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? That's what the Bible says. And we can also think about the things that David did in his life that weren't right. We can think about those that rose up against David. But because David continued to choose, even after his own downfall, even after his own wrong decisions, he got back trusting the Lord. He got his heart back right with the Lord, and God blessed him. And God continued to bless him. The Lord didn't take away the consequences. He didn't take away the storms. The storms of life help us to continue looking to the master of the storm, to continue looking to the one who has blessed us with salvation. Again, when you think about these disciples on this day, I can think about everything that's happened up to that point and humanly look at it and go, why didn't they trust him to start with? Well, because that's the human nature. The flesh doesn't want to trust. But we're told in Proverbs, trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's where we have to give in to the Spirit more and more and more, yielding to God more and more and more. Because the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, when you look at these verses tonight, it does remind us that if I will continue to follow the Lord, continue to trust the Lord, continue to give my life to the Lord, And whatever my day entails, whatever's going on in my day, if I will give it to the Lord and let him have it, he will bring a blessing about it. And he will help my faith to grow. And that is the most important thing to the Lord. Our faith is more precious than gold. You know, this is a wonderful time midweek on a Wednesday, you know, because you've already been in the work world. You've already had 3 days in this week. And everybody needs to be reminded at midweek that, you know what, God is still on the throne. God still blesses. God still has his hands out saying, give me what you have and I will bless it. I will take it, I will use it, and I will help you. Again, what a blessing it is to see that on the other side of obedience, there is blessings. There are blessings that bring joy to the heart and brings a song of praise to the lips to bring honor and glory to the Lord.